Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Amen. Hallelujah. You maybes. And we want to release the children. Thank you so much, guys. So great to have you in our midst. Hallelujah. And that's part of, by the way, more and more as I see what these other influences, and we have we are actively, this church, involved in trying to be there on behalf of our children where all this weird stuff is coming in to teach our children alternate lifestyle and alternate stuff that tells them, you know, they may not be boys, they may be girls, even though they're, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff I never dreamt of being taught in our public school system. So it is, some can afford to send our kids to Christian schools, but if we can't, boy, tell them to bring them to at least church and to children's church so they can have the protection of the Word of God. Because it's, in our culture now, it's an ongoing battle. And it can confuse little ones so much.
Speaking of little ones that are not confused and will not be confused, for in service for the very first time, for the very first time on this side of the mommy's belly, we have Noel Nagy present today.
Oh, hallelujah.
And apparently she's got the veil over her face because she's sleeping right now, but she's right there. So
wonderful.
We're so proud of you guys. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Amen. We bless you guys.
Yeah, we do. We
proud
bless
to
you.
Have the baby.
Praise the Lord.
Oh.
You get to celebrate Christmas all year now.
Yeah, that baby has had a lot of blessing and prayer while she was inside.
Oh, my goodness. She's so brilliant. And literally, right out of her mommy's belly, she just look at you and you're like, you know everything, don't you? You're so brilliant. Tell me all about the Lord. What did he tell you? She's incredible. And she's gorgeous. Like her mommy.
Hallelujah. That's partly because
daddy's pointing at himself. Gorgeous like her daddy.
It's because she was blessed by Pastor Mahesh before she came. Four. So we had special. Well, can't deny the fact. And I talked a little on Friday about releasing our angels.
Amen, yeah.
And angelic activity is increasing. And we need to welcome angelic, recognize. Once in a while, it'll freak you out. And I hope you have certain that you don't need them. But when it's needed, the angels will come to help you, help your children in supernatural
Amen.
Ways. Hallelujah. So, but you had an impression, Katie. Come over here. Someone give her a mic. I wanted her to share.
Good morning. I want to put a plug in for the watch, too, pastors did, that if you can't come, you can go online. I've had to do that because of some circumstances the last couple of months, so it was so good to be back present in the watch. But at one point, Pastor Mahesh said he saw the glory rolling in from the back of the congregation and the fragrance of the Lord. I was sitting on the front row, and I could just feel it. I didn't even turn around. It's like I didn't want to turn, but I've just felt it coming in. And then I heard the glory on your voice in a new way. From being here for so many years, I've learned to recognize, you know, I love Pastor Mahesh's voice, I love Pastor Bonnie's voice, and I love what they teach and share, but there are times when there's some other glory that comes. And I'd never heard, you almost whispered. Were you aware of that? It was completely silent in here. And it was like Pastor Mahesh was whispering just because the presence and the glory of God was so strong. So I went home, and when that happens to me at the watch, then I kind of carry it through Saturday. And this morning I was getting ready for church. I was in my kitchen and I was singing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You know that song? We don't sing the old ones as much, but it was one of the songs my elderly mother-in-law, who just went to be with the Lord, she had chosen for her memorial service. So it's been stirring in my heart. But I got to that second verse. I may have to hold on here. Or whatever verse it was. I got to the verse that said, "Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love." Amen. Now, how many of you need an echo of mercy every day, every hour, and a whisper of His love? Do you know how much pleasure it gives the Lord for you to recognize and receive His mercy and His love? I was just overcome because I was aware as I was singing that verse that my entire kitchen filled with angels. Now, I did not see them, but I had to hold on to the counter to keep from falling over. And it was just a glorious, glorious presence. And then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Permanent residence, permanent residence." Now, we know in the natural, when someone comes from another country and they receive the status of permanent residence, they're allowed to stay here as long as they want, but they're really citizens of another country. And that's what I felt like. These are citizens of heaven, but these angels that have been released here are permanent residents, and not just here. I mean, I'm just overcome right now, aware of the angels here, but in our homes. And I felt like the Lord said, "Welcome them. Welcome them. Welcome them." We've been taught so often, don't worship angels, and I agree. We don't worship angels, but we welcome them.
That's good. Amen.
Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And they are here to do the Lord's pleasure. And I'm saying they are here assigned to you as permanent residents. So let's welcome the ministry of angels here. Thank you, Pastor.
Wow. Amen. Amen. It's very scriptural. It's very biblical. The entire history of the Bible narrative is encounter after encounter, real presence, real encounter by people who believed the Lord in every circumstance, on every kind of journey, in every kind of threat of death and danger and need and lack throughout the Bible. The Lord and His angels appear again and again. And as Katie was sharing, the thing that quickened again in my heart is that one of the principal encounters that we had on the establishment of All Nations Church many years ago was a supernatural thing that the Lord did with the testimony of Jacob when he went out, had nothing but a stone for a pillow, and the angels of God met him, and he saw them going up from where he was into heaven and coming back down. And Katie, it's interesting, as you know, as the Lord does, it's so funny. I opened my Bible to look again at that scripture, and it opened to Genesis 32, and the line is, "So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." But in the watch on Friday, we were speaking about angels ascending and descending. Jesus brings back the story of Jacob when he meets Nathanael, and he says to Nathanael, "From now on, you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so Christ with us, his presence is very real. And his angels are in attendance to his presence at all times. That is such a beautiful, beautiful testimony of the reality. So say permanent residence.
Permanent
residence. Angels present.
Yeah, what we want to, in your kind of like inside library, just don't lose this, the word. There are certain times the Lord will say, remember this now. And right now, that we will expect angels.
Okay? Amen, Lord.
Expect angelic activity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we are in that period, and don't mind me repeating this, that there, we live in a very special prophetic hour, that, and we were, you know, something that a lot of Christians would, in the arsenal of thought, they wouldn't have this necessarily unless they were brought up in certain schools of thought. But in the school of thought that we had, part of our theology was measured by its relationship with Israel. And what is God? When you want to know what's happening in God's time clock, you look at Israel. And in this last year and a half, then, we have had unique blessing that has not happened in 70 years, and then suddenly our nation is right now the one of the main supports of Israel. Despite any of its enemies, we in the natural, we are blessing Israel. And because of that, I've said, they who pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love thee. And we are seeing a unique kind of prosperity and blessing that's coming on our nation that is unusual. So that, you know, our president goes to different places and he says, a leadership of so many nations says, what are you doing right? Because we haven't seen this kind of economic favor over us. What are you doing? And I would point out that we are blessing Israel and Jerusalem. And that, it kind of releases a prosperity over a national prosperity. So we have, I'm not trying to do a political advertising, but we have some of the lowest unemployment in more than nearly 60 years.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of the best financial figures for a nation. And it's, we are on the road eventually, if we stay on this path, to become a really a debt-free nation. So it is, there are a lot of foolish decisions that were made in the past, but the Lord is giving us grace and favor. Anyway, one of the things we need to recognize and get in the flow, the river that is in Psalm 46, it mentions the river of God, that we are, whatever else is happening, we are beside the river of God, the river of blessing, and it's happening over us. So anyway, the other thought I had that I wanted to just kind of get us ready, we are hosting again a wonderful time of gathering. I call it convocations. We call them conferences, but a lot of hungry people are coming from all across this nation and other nations to come and drink from a fountain of grace and blessing that is at this church. So be prepared and say a prayer for those coming, this coming, in the next few days. And we will be hosting the presence of the Lord. We'll
Thank
be hosting hundreds of people who are hungry and thirsty for more of God, more of Jesus. And so may the Lord give us his grace, give us favor, give us the provision we need just to bless them. And above all, that we ask for the presence of God
Amen.
to fill this place and bless all the hungry and thirsty souls who are coming. And one of the things that I felt that these times, they are like the seasons when God would ask people together at certain times of the year in Israel and in Jerusalem especially. And during, for example, the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Passover, there are times of divine appointment that the Lord said, gather together to glorify my name, and you will be blessed, and you will remain undefeated. So this is like a time, a convocation we're having over the next few days as we convocate, like may this be a special time of outpouring. Amen. Of his glory. So, and there are also times where as we worship and praise, that I always see ourselves as, I want to go to the next level. And God is giving us the next level. How much? How much next level? How much more do we? I want more. How many of you want more of God?
Amen.
Lord, say, I want more.
I want more of you.
And if you don't, if you feel like you have enough, take some for me. How many of you need more?
Amen.
So I'm hungry.
I am hungry.
Amen.
Amen.
So
Lord.
We are hungry and thirsty. So we want to stay before his presence. And there are historical times where the glory has come over convocation so much that sometimes you may, it's really weird, some of the historical documents, they have been almost like people have been embarrassed by certain events, especially where there are divine interventions of God. And some of the historical documents, I read them at one time and then come about 10 or 15 years later and they have been like,
yes,
expurgated.
And like a lot of whiteout used.
Yeah, so that because they have no explanation
on the true
of what happened.
Histories of the church.
Yeah, like you can look up the Cane Ridge Revival.
Yeah.
And it was in Kentucky, I believe. But the gathering was, they would be so blessed and graced by the presence of God that people would be knocked out in the power of the Spirit. But they would be knocked out for days. This wouldn't be just for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. That would be day. And that it was during the, it was the early 1800s. And there would be carts and they would take people and put them like logs on top of each other.
Come again, Lord.
Take them home because they would be in the glory.
Ubers filled with people like logs. Put them in the trunk. Come on. Come again, Lord. Come again, Lord. And you know, the really amazing thing, when I was raised in a particular church denomination that was absolutely cessationist, meaning that all of the miraculous stuff stopped when the last of the 12 who actually, you know, walked with Jesus, when the last of them died. And then, you know, the Apostle Paul was sort of like Jesus in our particular church denomination. He was quoted and talked about much more than anybody else. Interestingly enough, they never quoted that scripture where Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But in any case, I was raised in this atmosphere that absolutely denied and in fact was afraid of everything unusual or supernatural. The atmosphere was more or less that the Trinity was the Father, the Son, and the Bible. And so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on my own, very sovereignly, when I was living in Dallas and was in a time of my life where I really, really needed an intervention of the Lord, and I cried out to the Lord. And he baptized me in the Holy Spirit, but the experience itself was in such conflict and contrast to everything that had been ingrained in my soul and my way of thinking and my, you know, religious training, that I really didn't know what to do with it. And one of the first things that I did in those first few months as I was experiencing the reality of Jesus and his word for the first time is I was curious to know the sort of evolution of that denomination that I had come from. And I discovered in reading the history of it that the man who founded it had actually been one of the close apprentices to those revival preachers in the Cane Ridge Revival. And after seasons of the visitation had passed, he began to reflect back and doubt and then mock what had occurred there. And he wrote the foundations of that particular denomination in abject denial of all of those things that he himself had experienced and been a part of. And I found that really stunning. And so for me, I said, you know what, Lord, I need deliverance. And I literally did. I got prayer. That's what led me to you. Seriously, it is. You know the story. I found my husband by looking for somebody who could cast demons out of me. No other foundation. I don't know. Yeah. But I did. I needed deliverance because some of that really antichrist, I'm sorry to say, and anxiety had seeped into my soul, and there was a block of fear and anxiety and doubt and unbelief about the real presence and the real visitation that God is real. And it's interesting here in this psalm, Mahesh, that you led us to, it says, everyone, this Message Bible, Psalm 46, everyone, look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of God, for he brings both ruin and revival. And then it goes on to say, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you'll see that I'm God, the God above all the nations. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies on our side.
Hallelujah. Amen. One of the things that he brings out in Psalm 46 is that one of his identities is Jacob wrestling God.
Yeah.
In the Message Bible, it's the God, it reads the God of Jacob, but if you go to Message Bible, it is Jacob wrestling God. That as we pray and don't give up, pray through, that you almost like wrestling God. But the blessing is there. And one of the things that Jacob confesses is when this man that he's struggling yeah. with, it's really the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus. And he says, let me go. And Jacob says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And that's a good attitude to have, Lord. I won't let you go unless you bless me, unless you bless my children. And then God wants us to ask him. God wants us to exercise faith and get more.
The heart and the majesty and love of the Lord so revealed in that encounter is that when Jacob says, I won't let you go until you bless me, the Lord says, what's your name? Obviously, God knew what his name was. But, you know, you had mentioned some of this on Friday as we were talking about that encounter. And the fact that Jacob's name means cheater. So here we have Jacob, and he's wrestling with pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in order to, number one, not die, but number two, he recognizes that this is the Lord, and he is not going to let him go no matter what. He needs him. It's a matter of life and death. And in that encounter, the Lord is there to allow Jacob to have an encounter of his identity, not as he sees himself, but as God sees him. Because when the Lord says, what is your name? You know, I could just see Jacob saying, cheater. Like, you know, I really don't deserve this blessing. And the Lord said, no, it isn't. Your name is Israel, beloved of God. And, you know, the transformation in his heart, in the presence of the Lord there as he was wrestling, he found out who he was according to God, rather than who he was according to himself or his history.
Yeah, and with it comes the blessing, not just for him, but for the 12 tribes that were going to come out from Israel. The blessing of God. When you are struggling with certain situations, know that it's not because God is mad at you, but he wants to further promote you and bless you and put you in a realm and of grace that you never dreamt of. So God is a good God. Say, my God.
My God.
Is a good God.
Is a good God.
So anytime you have a struggle, believe, exercise faith that you'll come out greater.
Jesus.
That you will come forth with bigger victories.
Thank you.
Greater deliverances. And better than you ever expected, because God is involved. And in that, then there are certain, just some disciplines that we need to learn. For example, I believe that as we come over the next few days, add extra faith to your worship, your praise, your thanksgiving, because I believe we are in a period where he will take the church and us corporately to the next level, I believe. That's why I talked about releasing the angels, that they're going to help us come into a prophetic season that I am declaring we have not been this way before, but it's going to be even greater. So as a discipline, then, we need to exercise faith, but stay before God to go to the next level. I believe in one of the things that I would point you to in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where there is a battle, there is a struggle. It's the story of Jehoshaphat, and he's surrounded by all kinds of enemy forces. And in the natural, he and his nation, Judah, would be totally defeated and devastated by an invading army force. And God gives them, listen, this enemy is coming, so you will benefit. So I'll benefit. I'll be happy if I can survive. And he said, uh-oh. There's something we're going to, this is arranged by me, the Lord says. And it says here in 2 Chronicles 20, the Lord tells, the prophetic word comes forth over Jehoshaphat. Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Say prosper.
Prosper.
And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So here are the enemy forces. And it says, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord released angelic forces to bring totally defeat his enemies. So one of the things that I would recommend for us, for you individually, and then for us, is I sent a text on Friday night. Some people are asking prayer. And I said, one of the words the Lord saying me is, telling me to tell you is, start the next level of praise and thanksgiving, because the provision is there. I'm agreeing with you. Angelic forces are being released for you and on your behalf. So what are you supposed to do? One of the scriptures, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise. When I begin, say, when I begin.
When I begin.
To sing.
To sing.
And to praise.
And to praise.
So that's your part.
And then you hold on to the counter, because the angels are coming down. Right, Katie?
Yeah. By the way, we should sing blessed assurance.
You know, Pastor, this event, it's really great. Jehoshaphat he's looking for a place to hook his faith, so to speak. And this is the first place where someone says this, but the prayer that he prayed just prior to sending these worshipers out, he stands before the Lord and he says, "Oh Lord, are you not the God who did this? Do you not do that? Are you not the one?" And he's re-referencing all the prior victories of Israel that he needs like victory right now. But in that appeal to God, that public appeal to God, he said, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel?" So he knows of the testimony that God did before that he needs now. So in whatever scenario that you're in, wherever you're at, if you need a healing, we have hundreds of testimonies. You've seen them. You've heard them here in this house of testimonies of healing. If you need financial breakthrough, likewise, we have over and over again the testimonies right here in this house. But, you know, they're all over the place with the internet and all, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Or any other thing, or the intervention of angels. Katie testified this morning, but he says, "Who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend." And that right there, it's Jehoshaphat is going, "Lord, remember your friend Abraham? Remember what you did for your friend? We're his kids."
Amen.
And I don't know, I believe it or not, I have been reading this scripture. We don't usually confer before we end up here. But I always get excited when it always, you know, comes together. But this one, sorry for interrupting you, but I love the fact that this intervention, Jehoshaphat appeals to the Lord as his friend. And then, of course, you know, Jesus says to his disciples, "You're not my slaves. You're my friends."
And one of the things is recall all the great things that God has done. Rehearse them. And then remember wherever, I mean, even the smallest thing. Lord, remember when I was desperate for a parking spot and I had to find that, and suddenly, supernaturally, thank you, Lord. I mean, start putting things together of thanking for specific things. We have a litany of miracles, and then try to journal
thank
them
you,
even.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that when we prayed for our little daughter, and you gave this miracle, Lord. And that's the pattern in Jehoshaphat, is it's a model for how to defeat the enemy and get the next level of victory. So yes, you have done it before. Right now, the enemy army is right there. And guess what?
Thank
the
you,
Lord,
Jesus.
They began, it says, they began to worship and praise the Lord. Say, they began.
They began.
And then as they began, then Lord set angels loose to defeat the enemy. And then the next level of blessing and victory was, now God so defeated the enemy forces that it took them 3 days to put the treasures together.
Wow.
Because how they used to, the armies in the ancient days would come with all their treasures, because they were going to come and occupy the enemy. They were going to destroy all the people of that land and possess.
And become permanent residents.
And become permanent. The negative. And it's, yeah.
And they brought all their gear with them.
Took them 3 days to gather all the treasure. Oh. So it was not only a victory, but a triumph, plus. It's not just the defeating of enemies, but profiting into such a degree that the fortunes are totally transformed.
That's really brilliant. I mean, you know, we read these things, and sometimes you know how it is. It doesn't really open for you until it opens for you. But as you're speaking, I'm realizing that all the stuff that of strength that the enemy brought for their victory and their provision, actually, they were messengers bringing it for the people of God, who they think they're coming to defeat and overrun. That's amazing. I've never seen that before. That everything the enemy is bringing to defeat you ends up becoming your provision. Wow. Woo! That is awesome. And can you imagine the people of Israel? It's like, okay, you know, somebody had, you know, Le Creuset cooking gear when they came, and, you know, I just had some clay pots, two or three, and three of them were chipped. And now, you know, and then cooking with the stuff that the enemies had brought. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That is awesome. Maybe that's part, you know, that scripture that says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Come on. Wow. You should meditate on that. You should actually think about the specific things that have been set against you or you may be facing right now that are actually the strength of the opposition. We're going to turn it around. Begin to praise the Lord. Wow.
And it's at different levels, whatever, and whether it's a healing, whether it's a promotion, whether it's a new job, whatever we're claiming for ourselves, our children, our loved ones, that when we begin, you begin, don't quit, just when you begin to praise Him, when they begin to praise and worship, the Lord already set the angelic forces, angels, to defeat. And by the way, it's just one angel. The Lord released one angel, and He will slay 184,000 soldiers. That's for one. And God has an innumerable company of angels that just think sometimes just... there is a story. Way back I used to see. It was in Reader's Digest, a real story. Many years ago. I remember it was an article. Way back in the late 50s. But there was a riot, a lot of unrest in the 1920s of unrest, labor unrest and riots and all of that. They did a telegram, some city asked telegram to the Texas Rangers. Do we need send some Texas Rangers? There are riots beginning in this city. And they got a telegram from the Texas Rangers, meet the train at such and such. And so the sheriff and all the sheriff's department came to received the Texas Rangers over this train, and when they came to this train station, the one man get off the train, and so the sheriff and his all the troops was there. I say, I thought you said you were going to receive the Texas Rangers. They said, yeah. One man got off with a shotgun with the Texas Ranger badge. And they said, where are the other forces? It says, what do you mean? Well, how many riots do you have? We have a big riot, one riot. Just one, that's all you need. Here's the shotgun. One ranger, one riot. You have one riot, one ranger. That's all you need. Basically, one riot. You have one riot, one ranger. That's all you need. Basically, and then the ranger disturbs the process, disturbs the riot. Your uncles were some of the great,
correct.
Great
I
uncles.
I am the direct descendant of some of the original Texas Rangers.
The founders of the Texas Rangers were her uncle, great, great uncles.
You're surprised, right? interesting about that particular ancestor, though. He ran with a group of three other young guys like himself that were kind of gunslinger hotshots. And one of those four friends got in an altercation and got shot and killed. They were all in their 20s. And when that happened, the other three suddenly realized how fragile their life was, and all of them became committed, born-again Christians. And that particular great-great-great-uncle, whatever, became a revivalist. And then the history of our family turned to actually leading some of the great revivals of that area.
Praise God.
Isn't that awesome?
The final scripture I wanted to share was it says, I was thinking about the worship and the praise, that as we, the atmosphere, Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So there may be things in the natural that is around us, but one of the things that we need to keep connecting is that we worship and praise and thank the Lord in the midst of whatever else is happening, that God wants to defeat the enemies, and then that you got to transfer from looking at the enemy forces, but instead you transition into a place where you are able to worship. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims and the angels, angelic Thank forces, are all around saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So as we, whatever is happening on earth, to get your eyes off of the earthly region and put your eyes into the atmosphere of the glory, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with the glory. And as we are coming over the next few days, as we want to not define ourselves with so much the earthly affairs, but disconnect to the degree that you go into the heavenly glory and worship the Lord, and from that the God is releasing angelic activity to defeat the enemy forces and restore, bring us to a place where we have so much release of blessing that it takes 3 days.
Amen. Amen. And so we do pray together, Lord, as a congregation, as a place of hospitality, as we are preparing to receive hundreds of your children, your servants, hundreds of people with various needs at various places in their lives and families. We make intercession before you today that this would be a place of divine encounter for every person, small and great, old and young, from every background, in every situation, when their car, when their foot hits the property and proceeds this way. We ask for the attendance of your angels, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that you would give us each grace and joy and the anointing to be your ministers of reconciliation. We thank you for providing and making a place, and we welcome now your servants, your children, and your angels in Jesus' name. Come, Lord, in visitation. We celebrate you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We're going to sing. I would like to sing Blessed Assurance. But
thank you, Lord.
I got a message that the people to pick up their schedules.
For the conference. Yeah. If you're volunteering for the conference, your schedule is in the foyer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thinking again of the Father who brought his son to Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you can do anything, Jesus said, what do you mean, if? He said, if you just believe. So we release our faith today. Time lapse, mustard seed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I would like the healing team to come if you want. If you will, please. We'll lay hands on people. If you need to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, make a decision for the Lord, or want to join the church, you can come be with us. I was really touched by that word and what Katie talked about, Blessed Assurance. That's a good Baptist song. Now, where were you Baptist? You were Lutheran, right?
Lutheran.
Yeah. I was Baptist. We wrote that song. The Lutherans kind of.
Church of Christ. We sang that song, but not with instruments.
Blessed.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.